This is Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. We'll explore what it takes to run a side hustle with talented individuals from different backgrounds and experiences. We will discuss things like taking the plunge, personal challenges, and the balancing act of maintaining a day job whilst side hustling to make the dream a reality. Now sit back, relax, as we talk to some of these amazing individuals. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. Today is a bit of a special episode. We're actually discussing how us as Jewel of Doves are dealing with this current situation of the COVID-19 and how Luke and I specifically are managing our 9-to-5s and side hustles. Luke, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. It's a bleak Friday morning. Bleak meaning like we're not supposed to be on the road and we're just kind of like dodging around, but what can we do? So we want to get this recording done. So
exactly. It's we're sitting actually in a pretty cool spot. I want to just look at disclose the location. However, we do have Nika from the Barrel helping us through this Friday morning as well, which is great.
And it is 9 a.m. by the way.
And it is 9 a.m. So hopefully we won't slur our words too much.
Oh no, we've had our first. This is our first couple of sips. We're all good.
Yeah, I'm definitely warm now.
Well, I guess to kick things off, should we maybe start with the general question or the general how are things going? How are things going from your end?
Yeah, for sure. So last 3 weeks we've just been working from home, obviously, like many other tech and startup companies and agencies, and it's been rather challenging for me personally, having to work from home while still maintaining a normal sense of direction, sense of being, I guess. And
so you mean being personally, like
me personally? Yeah. I mean, naturally I'm in my 9-to-5s, I'm constantly talking to people. I'm constantly being pulled in meetings. So having to do that through Zoom and Slack and Google Hangouts and what have you, it's been okay. But I think I'm more drawn to be around people. I think that's the mental thing that I'm struggling with. Like to work around people, and I like to be at a place of work rather than working from home.
So thinking about that baseline, just to take a little step back, For work, what's the normal work from home baseline? Like what's the norm before this?
The norm was you get 10 days of working from home per year, but a lot of people kind of just do their own thing and work from home when they feel they need to.
Yeah.
That's kind of the norm in my 9-to-5.
So it sounds like the norm would be like max around once a month, which means pretty much this is like a pretty big jarring experience compared to that. Like
absolutely. Yeah, this is it's pretty abnormal at this stage. A lot of people are thriving on it, and a lot of people are being challenged kind of just mentally and just being stimulated and motivated. So it's quite interesting.
So would you say a lot of people, do you mean in the team?
Yeah, sorry, a lot of people on my team.
Yeah.
So I run about a team of 20, 23 people.
Yeah.
And specifically the tech guys are thriving on this. They're getting their shit done very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're having to constantly talk to our traffic manager to get them more work, to get them more tasks to work on.
Yeah.
So they've definitely... they've exceeded expectations, and they're making us think twice about how we run that particular department.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, actually, of like what the new norm is going to be once everything's back to normal.
Mm.
And I have been thinking, like, what does it look like for things like office hours and stuff like that, or even from a business owner point of view of leasing a space. Like, what if you then lease a space for like 2 days a week? Because you need that, you want that face to face time, but then you also understand that there's 3 days of the week where people can do what they need to do from home, and they don't need an office actually to go to.
Exactly,
which could be kind of cool. And also then the thought of like breaking the whole 9-to-5.
Yep.
In general, like I'm sure some of these developers would thrive working at nighttime. I like working at nighttime.
Yeah.
So like, if meetings allow, I guess, like, I wonder how that could look.
Definitely. So a lot of business decisions are actually slowly being made in terms of how expenses will be looked at after this period and where we can potentially make some cost-cutting kind of decisions and strategies. So
that's a good opportunity. Like, it's a good opportunity to start to think about that stuff now, like while things are a bit slower as well.
Definitely, definitely. But that's kind of one side of the coin.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is how we're handling our side hustles while we're going through this. Because for me, I'm struggling because I'm in a position where I need to kind of drive the ship and make sure that we've got enough cash flow coming through to feed the mouths that we've currently got in the team and to make sure that the agency kind of survives through this period. But at the same time, mentally, I'm 80% focused on that. And then once that's done, I need to focus on my side hustles.
Yeah.
And there's just no brain capacity at that point to kind of plug away from the stress of dealing with my 9-to-5 and then focusing my energy on my side hustle. And
do you think it's because the 9-to-5 has now invaded your personal space?
I think so, yes. My 9-to-5 has definitely come into my personal space. It's come into my side hustle space. Mm-hmm. So it's totally blurred the lines.
Yeah.
Of trying to disconnect from that and then having to focus on the side hustle on in normal circumstances. I'm at work, I commute there, I commute back, I come home, I sit in my office and I'm like, okay, cool, now it's time to focus on the side hustle. But
yeah,
now
I say,
you finish your 9-to-5 at home and then you've got to disconnect from your 9-to-5 and then fully delve into your side hustle. And for me, that's been kind of challenging to kind of switch off and switch on.
That's interesting because mine is completely opposite. Not in the opposite in the way of I can switch on and off. Opposite in the way of, maybe not opposite, but I guess I know you. Like, I know you, Omar. I know how you conduct yourself at work. And when you're at work, you're at work. And then when you're at side hustle, you're at side hustle, as you've sort of been saying.
Mm.
But I'm opposite in the sense of like I'm both side hustle and 9-to-5 at the same time. All the time. So I don't know how I juggle it. Maybe digging into that might be an interesting thing, but it's just like a problem that I have in general is I'm always at 100 in the sense of whatever I'm trying to do. So I remember when I used to go to the gym, I used to always like lift like crazy. And like when I do the boxing parts of the routine with a personal trainer, he'd be like, you only need to do like 40% right now. Like, why are you hitting it so hard?
Yep.
And I just couldn't, I can't get out of that 100% like mode.
Definitely.
But I guess what I wanted to lead into with that was, I think maybe before we jump into the side hustle stuff, let's focus in a little bit on the personal aspects of how this is affecting us. I think that will help bridge into the side hustle as well.
Sure.
So what I mean by that is the whole isolation that we're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both going through it in a bit of a different way. I think everybody's going through it in their own way, which has sparked some ideas for us to eventually think about, talking to some people and understanding how it's affecting people.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess from a question to you is on that level. So beyond, I know work will be part of it, but beyond the sort of work part, how are you sort of managing the isolation?
Personally, it's nothing really new to me. And that might be a surprise to our listeners. I mean, I was born in Iraq, Baghdad. So I was born into war.
Yeah.
So in saying that, we had to stay in isolation. We had to stay in safe areas to kind of avoid being amongst conflict and where mm-hmm. the bombings and stuff were happening. So
this is light compared to that, I guess?
It's pretty light, man. It's pretty light, to be honest. It's because back home, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have clean running water. Food supplies were really hard to come by.
Okay.
And you couldn't leave the house. And electricity was scarce. I mean, TV networks were down. Everything was down. At least over here, we've got the internet. We've got electricity. We've got clean running water. We've got all these luxuries at our fingertips. And people are still losing their shit. So I'm kind of stepping back going, this is not bad. This is a good way for us as human beings to all slow the fuck down and kind of look at what's important in our lives and start looking at things that we usually take for granted in a more serious manner with a different lens. So to me personally, isolation, it's kind of a good thing. I'm seeing it with a positive lens.
Yeah.
But the work side of it is fucking me up.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting point you make, because as we went into this, so it's been 4 weeks for me now for work, working from home for 100% remotely. And I went into it thinking to myself, well, the dream of the side hustle is to get our time back, right? Mm-hmm. So I went into it thinking to myself, well, but getting our time back means having time like with the family, with the kids, and sort of just being around the house.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at it from that lens, and from that lens, it's been really, really good. Like being able to drop the girls off at daycare each day they go and pick them up each day. And when they're sick or they can't go to daycare for whatever reason, being around to help out. Like Ellen's doing majority of that still, because I just wanted to be in meetings and be doing the 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. But being able to just walk out of the room and like go have a hug with one of the girls and then come back. That's or whatever. Priceless. Like, yeah. Like it's been really, really nice. And I think, I was actually talking to one of my colleagues, Mike, and he put it well. He was talking about he's a bit of an introvert, and as an introvert, he's thriving. And I identify in a similar way. Like I feel at heart, I'm an introvert. And I don't really like being with myself, but at the same time,
you're forced to.
Not being around people is all right. Like it's kind of ain't no thing type thing.
But at the same time, you've been very well for past few years or however long I've known you, you've been quite disciplined in the sense that you can work from home, and the previous 9 to 5s that you've had allowed you to work from home almost in a kind of unlimited manner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a topic that I'm keen to get into as well, is thinking about, the reality of working, like I was touching on before, the reality of working remotely after this, because now I've been working, as Omar said, I've been working from home, enabled to work from home for about 5 years now through my different jobs. The current job I'm at now is a little bit less flexible, like one day a fortnight, which I've sort of hustled into 1 day a week, which is enough for me. Like I like being in the office.
Yeah.
But two jobs prior to this was unlimited work from home. So you could literally wake up in the morning and be like,
I don't feel like going to work.
I feel a bit sick. I'm going to work from home today. Well, that's a misconception though, because it's always been, we actually get more work done when we're at home. And it may not be over an extended period of time, but like you might do, say you fuck around for a bit and you're like, you know, you have a couple of meetings and maybe you'll go for a run or whatever. Yeah. You might actually clock on for real until 11 maybe. Mm. Like I'm talking about before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you know, then you might work real hard from 11 till about 3:30, and then have like the tie up end of the day meetings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that short amount of time, you would get so much more done than if you're in the office, because all of the water cooler conversations and all that sort of stuff, although I love them, they're really distracting.
They are distracting.
And not going to lunch saves a lot of money, but also saves a lot of time, because you can quickly eat and then just keep it going. Mm. But yeah, what I'm excited about is the reality of remote working in other sectors and other industries after this pandemic, because I feel like there's some big opportunities for us to change the way we work. And as sort of like side hustlers, as freelancers, as creatives, people can come into our world a little bit and how we like to get things done.
You've touched on your 9 to 5 and kind of working from home as well. What I wanted to know is, are you still okay with doing your freelancing? Are you still motivated to kind of do your side hustle once you've finished your 9 to 5 for the day?
I'm more motivated than ever.
Yep.
I'm like, I've actually been, normally I'll be sending Omar ideas throughout the day and normally he doesn't reply because I know he's dialed into work, but I haven't been sending anything because my brain has been on double overdrive. Too much that I can't even type it. I can't even articulate it. I kind of have to be calling people and talking about it. So I've just been calling random people, which has been amazing for me because I'm at home and everyone's at home. Mm-hmm. Everyone can pick up the phone.
No one's got a reason not to pick up the phone.
No, not at all. So when I have an idea, so over this time I've been thinking about like different product ideas, like physical product ideas, which I've always wanted to have a product, but like everything I'm researching has like been done so hard. I'm looking for something that I can make sustainable but cool, kind of like who gives a crap toilet paper, or what Aesop did with like canned soap and stuff like that. Or like Go Kindly did with their pillows, like take something that's normal that you just need every day. And so my latest idea was looking at what if you had dishwashing soap but solid and you didn't need a brush, you could just like rub it with the soap like you would like in the shower or whatever. But that's been done. And Seed and Sprout have done everything that I want to do. But,
okay.
But that's not hit on there. In answer to your question, it's been balancing really well because freelance has taken a bit of a hit. As everyone knows, like the economy's down and like there's not that much money out there. So on the side, so in lieu of doing that, I've been helping a lot of people just with graphical work for fun. And in doing that, I've realized my craft is visual design, and that's what I really enjoy doing. So now it's allowed me to rethink my side hustle beyond the Side Hustle podcast and think about like, okay, I really enjoy doing visual stuff. I can help build brands through the visuals and through like tone of voice and stuff like that. And that kind of lends itself well to like startups and up and coming businesses. So I'm starting to identify who I want to work with. And I'm just taking the time to really calibrate those thoughts and put them down into paper. And so to think about how do then I also extend my website to have a bit more personality and a bit more thought into what I can do and what I can provide. Because generally I just rely on word of mouth and I rely on just people seeing my folio, seeing the visuals and hitting me up type thing. I've never actually tried to get freelance work before. Kind of like how Sam was saying, it's all word of mouth. So it's like, fuck it, let's get myself to a point where as soon as the pandemic's over, I can start trying. And even before it's over, I can possibly even start hitting people up being like, hey, do you need help with whatever?
Definitely.
I've got time. Let's start collaborating.
See, that's crazy because both of us have been in kind of agency, startup and tech land for quite some time, but we've always worked quite differently. You're definitely more creative in the way your brain works. Like you're seeing this as a more of an opportunity where my commercial mindset is going, oh shit, we need to survive through this period. I need to be switched on and pretty alert with the current events and the news and, you know, financial forecasting and all that stuff. However, I don't come from that background. I come from a creative background as well, but I've had to kind of step up and have that mindset and wear those kind of commercial hats. But my challenge at the moment is kind of disconnecting from thinking commercially of how we're going to survive as an agency from my 9 to 5. And then after that, putting on my creative hat and being inspired and looking at developing garments and marketing that. And you know what I mean? And working closely with my wife on our thing. So that's something that I'm struggling with, but I'm slowly, I think the longer this thing takes over or the longer this thing spans, I think the better I'll get at managing my time and figuring out how this working from home thing is going to benefit me.
Well, the simple answer I can give to or a bit of advice or tip of how that could work is that in my 9 to 5, I've been on that sort of side as well. I feel like I'm using my creativity in a different way. I'm using my creativity to help surface opportunities and help advise, I guess. I haven't been on the tools really that much. Like I've been on the UX tools a lot, but not really on the like visual tools. I've just changed teams and that's going to change because I'm on the like flashier front end side now, which I'm really excited about in that regard because I've identified in this time that that's what I enjoy doing. But the good thing about it is that in all of my analytical juice going into or commercial or whatever you want to call it, juice going into the 9 to 5, I have overflowing creativity to spare. So I just divert that creativity somewhere else, which is the side hustle. So you could possibly do the same thing.
Well, I mean, your brain, the way you work is you said you work at 100% of the time. So you could be, it could be 9:30 in the morning on a normal day. And I've looked at my Slack and you sent me like 12 messages about 12 different ideas. So the way your brain works is totally different to mine.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good balance to have when obviously we work together on multiple projects.
Yeah.
It's good to have that person that kind of can hype things up and can really think of fixing things or coming up with, you know, problem solving ideas. But then you've got me who's like, all right, Luke, let's calm down. Let's focus on one thing at a time and kind of materialize it into something. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Like, but and like you're needed in that regard to like stop me, because sometimes I'll just rhyme with something. A really good example of this, and maybe you might listen to this one day. I totally forgot your name. I might remember, but there's another Side Hustle podcast and this girl followed us on like LinkedIn or something like that. And like the first thing I thought was, fuck, we should interview her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to contact her right now. I'm gesturing, typing. And Omar was like, hold on, pump the brakes. And I was literally about to start typing it. Like, I got so excited.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's cool, man. Like, you gotta have excitement. You got to have fun in what you're doing. What I wanted to ask you is, obviously, going through this pandemic has had a major effect on the industry that we're in. Actually, almost every single industry out there.
Yeah.
So how do you financially kind of cope with, obviously financially we've all been affected by it.
Yeah.
We've all had to either take pay cuts or reduce our working hours during the week. So how do you let that kind of, how do you still maintain your creativity and your way of thinking and not letting kind of the financial aspect side of it kind of bring you down?
Well, that's what I've kind of, that's what I really appreciate about this isolation time. And you touched on earlier about life slowing down. It's interesting, like always, my dad's from this, like grew up in the 70s, and whenever he tells me stories about when he grew up and how they used to be outside and all these things they used to do, like one half of me thinks of it as that sounds amazing. Like that would be so liberating and so good. But then the other side of me thinks to myself, but what about my iPhone? Like, what if I just want to call somebody? Yeah. So like I understand that I've got a good understanding on both. And like, I feel like this slow downness has helped give us a bit of a taste of that stuff. Cause now I'm going outside more. I'm going for rather than going for long runs, I go for short, quick runs, and like I'm smashing my times, and it's allowed me to think a bit differently. And I guess from there, it just like, it was reminded me that the creativity is not for the money. Like the reason why, like if I think about back when I was at uni or just after uni, before I really had a proper job or anything, I would always be doing tutorials and just sharpening my skills, sharpening my sword. And that's what I'm doing right now. For now, it's an opportunity for me to be like, you know what? I haven't really been visually designing for a good year now. And designing is just like drawing, just like riding a bike. Like you need practice. So you remember how to do it, but like you need to keep tuning it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like on the tune it up. I may as well do jobs for free for people that for initiatives that I care about or that I think have legs, particularly while no one's making money right now.
Yeah.
And that's actually the bottom line. No one's really making proper money right now. Mm-hmm. So that I find comfort in that. I've also taken a pay cut as well.
Yeah.
All of my freelancers is dried up. Like I'm pretty low on freelance, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to be full of freelance again in the future. It just means right now it's low. Yeah. So I feel like financially the way I'm dealing with it is just slowing down. Like there's no more buying lunches and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, cause we're isolated.
Yeah.
Childcare is now free, which is a massive, I don't want to use the word blessing cause I don't really like God, but like it's a good hit, because now it's like that's like $2,000 a month. It's like $2,000 a month that I don't have to pay on childcare. And we get to work, and childcare's still on, so we still get to work. Because my ideal was, I'm looking for childcare to be shut down in isolation and lockdown so that I don't have to pay. But this is actually way better, because now we get free childcare.
And you still have time to work and make money.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a really optimistic way of looking at it, man. I mean, for me, when I first started being directly affected by the financial hardships of this, and I've taken a pay cut like everyone else has, it kind of pulled me under the water a little bit. And also being in the position that I am in my 9-to-5, I'm exposed to a lot of financial kind of numbers and forecasting and stuff. And I needed a couple of days to kind of get over my funk. And it's that's usually my personality, though. When I'm approached with a challenge, I need to just kind of go just ride the waves. But let me ride the waves. Like, don't interrupt me. Don't try to make me feel better, because that's usually my job. I make people feel better. I usually take the lead with making people feel confident, and, you know, so
like empowering people.
So whatever advice you're going to give me is like, motherfucker, been there, done that. Yeah. I've heard that shit before. Let me do my thing. So my wife really knows me well when I go through that. She just leaves me alone, lets me do whatever. And if I need to go for a run, I'll go for a run. If I'm going to watch the Godfather trilogy for the next couple of days, she'll let me do that. That's me going through my feelings, I guess, or whatever the hell you want to call it, to kind of rise above it. But I think your point of view is really good. It seems quite a logical way of looking at it. And it's just like, cool, my hands are somewhat tied. I'm just going to make the most of what we've currently got and just ride the wave.
Yeah, totally. And don't get me wrong. Like, when I got the pay cut, which is about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago now, like, similar type thing, for the first couple of days of that news, it was like, how am I going to do this? Like, at that time, it was kind of like, I still have a few freelance projects bubbling. Like, maybe I can convert those and everything will be okay. And like, I was just worried about how we're going to fill this, like, loss in income.
Yeah.
What I really discovered was that, cause we're all in it together, it makes it a bit easier to deal with. And then also think about things like kind of how you were sort of touching on before about the other version of isolation that you went through when you were a kid.
Mm.
I think about that sort of stuff as well, just in the general thought of like, for example, I was waiting in line at the shops at Lamana to buy just grocery. So I was waiting in line. There's like a line to get in. And there's these older ladies in front of me talking about, like, in the war times, how they'd have to line like this just to get one egg.
Mm.
And like hearing little things like that here and there really puts it into perspective. Like, yes, I'm going to spend maybe an hour at the shops rather than 30 minutes. What's the difference? Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So it kind of puts that into perspective. But yeah, but there was a bit of time where I was like, fuck this, 20% less pay. Like, how am I going to deal with this?
Yeah.
And to the point where even in like one of the, like 2 days later in one of the all-ins, I was like geared up, ready to like, to jump in. I had my mic off on the Zoom.
What's the all-ins?
All-in is just like a whole company meeting.
Mm.
I had my mic off, ready to jump in and be like, I totally get why this is happening. Like, we need to help the business, and I agree, but I was just going to go in a bit.
Yep.
And then I kind of like checked myself, luckily.
Pumped the brakes.
While it was happening. And then like now, 3 weeks later, I'm totally at ease. And I honestly, I feel empowered with this reducing pay and reducing time.
Yep.
Because reducing time at work, unfortunately, means that I have to make a decision every like 3 o'clock. Like, okay, cool, I'm going to switch off and move on to side hustle stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it also gives me that time to think about side hustle stuff.
Yep.
And that's the tricky part, to be like, hey, I'm a good team member, I want to help out, but at the same time, time to turn off now.
I gotta put myself first. Yeah, for sure. What I also wanted to tap into is, obviously these times are quite stressful. A lot of people are under pressure. You and I are fortunate enough to still have the ability to work from home.
That's the other, and still well, that's the other make thing. A living. We still have a job. Exactly. At the end of the day, we still have a job. Yep. Like, that's the reality.
We're not having to line up at Centrelink and try to get funding from the government. So what I wanted to ask you is, how have you been dealing with relationships, whether it's, you know, your wife, your daughters, family, friends? How have you kind of navigated around that? Have you had any kind of challenges or anything around that?
That's a really good question. There's something interesting that that happened. Generally, I don't like being by myself. Like, we've had guests on the podcast before who have sort of talked about how they've thrived being by themselves and stuff like that. I can be by myself, but I generally don't like it. Like, anytime Ellen, my wife, would go out for like a girls' night or whatever, and if I would have the house free, like if the girls were getting minded or whatever, I would go, like, generally for like the longest time, I'd be like, no, it's all right, I'll be myself, it's all good. And then last minute, I'll be like, hey boys, like, are you guys free? I'm free, I got the house free. Do you want to come over? Like, and just, yeah, I just like, yeah, have like a spontaneous gathering.
Yeah.
Like, on the day, I would figure it out, because I'm like, no, fuck it, I'm not going to be by myself.
Yeah.
So I thought that I would be struggling in this times a little bit. And generally, Ellen likes us to stay home and stuff like that. But what I've discovered is it's been complete opposite. I've been totally thriving and fine. And I think it's also because I'm not by myself. I have the family with
me. Yeah.
But Ellen's like really keen on like the small things, like going to get a coffee and interacting with the – so the coffee place we generally used to go to got sold just before the pandemic, like really, really good timing. Like they were really, really lucky
timing. That was actually a really good – is that the same spot that you and I went to?
Crumpet & Co. Like the best cafe really I've ever gone to. Like that was my local and it was amazing. Mm. And it might be amazing still with the new owners, but they sort of a really good time. But because we made friends with them – and like we would like chat with them whenever we'd go there, like those little interactions Ellen really enjoys. So it's interesting to see the difference between her and I in that point of view.
Mm.
So she's struggling with it a little bit, but all in all, there's no issues at home as long as we keep the energy up and we have activities to do.
Yeah.
And the activities have changed from like going to cafes and going out to more so like we're thinking about buying bikes for the girls so we can sort of teach them how to ride and make it something that we can do sort of thing. And it could be just out on the road, like close to our house, but like not necessarily going out far.
Sure.
And also just keeping the girls busy, having lots of like craft activities, which I'm actually really enjoying because like my oldest Ava is really enjoying like painting and drawing.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
It might be biased because I'm her dad, but I think she draws faces really well. She doesn't draw the boring faces that kids draw. She draws in a really unique, detailed way, which kind of doesn't look anything like a face, but I didn't do that either. I used to like put like the red lines for the eyes and shit. So, so in answer to your question, it's all been pretty good, but at the same time, it's only 4 weeks in, like there's still a long road to go. So it's probably a good check-in point to see in the future as well.
Yeah.
But how about you guys? Because so you have a unique situation where before the pandemic, you had a guest over looking for a place to stay, right?
Yep.
And now this is kind of like held that.
Yeah. And also my wife and I run a business together as well. That's kind of my side hustle. So having her in the house during 9-to-5 time as well as after 9-to-5 time, it's been a bit challenging because we work together regardless on the weekends and after hours. But I think seeing each other on a daily basis every hour of the day, it's something that's new to both of us. So
how do you kind of manage that on a work level? Like, for example, Ellen has a desk in the garage that I'm not allowed to use.
Yeah.
So I was on the kitchen table and I hated it because my work would always be in the living area.
Yeah.
So then I bought myself a desk and now I've like buried myself away into like Adele's room. I'm sharing a room with her.
Sure.
And that's now we're like separate for the day.
Yeah.
And I'll annoy her and like go in and visit her like maybe every hour or so. Yep. She'd be like, fuck off. But but either way, like the separation has been really helpful. Like, absolutely. How do you guys deal with that?
There is an upstairs and a downstairs, but the upstairs it doesn't allow us to have kind of individual working space. So we're kind of on either end of the downstairs part. It's this open plan, kitchen, dining, living area, and this
it's like a bit of an L shape, right?
Kind of, it's a bit more of a U.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so, with the kitchen. Yeah.
So Nikita's on one end, I'm on the other end, and generally I'm constantly on the phone and on chats and stuff. But when I do get a minute, like you, I'd go annoy her, because it's fun. I get amusement out of annoying people, specifically my wife.
Because you do that at work as well, right? That's part of your thing at work.
Yeah. I go annoy people. I get a thrill out of it. But it's been a bit challenging, kind of just waking up, putting on, like trying our best to still dress up and keep normality. But I think initially I was kind of struggling with it, but now that we've developed a routine, and I think it's all about developing a routine.
Yep.
Waking up in the morning, getting coffee, having our meetings, and then maybe having another coffee break at some point and something to eat. And then after work, we go for a massive run. You know, I think going for a run and really blowing off steam really helps with this situation, mentally, physically, everything. It really takes you out of your comfort space. And then it kind of, you go on a massive run, you come back and you've kind of experienced this high. And now it's kind of like, cool, back to reality. I've got a better perspective on this. Every single time you work out, your mind sharpens and you've got a better perspective on the situation that you're in. So not meaning to sound like a motivational speaker, but seriously, do something that's going to make you break a sweat and you'll feel much better for it afterwards.
Totally. That's actually why I've been running the short distances because I'm working 20% less now. And I want to maintain my side hustle.
Yep.
I don't want to take like a long hour, an hour run to go for like 10Ks or anything like that. So I've been condensing down to 5Ks and running as fast as fast as I can. And you're right. Building that sweat and building that like puff, it's just like, it just re-energizes you. And you also touched on something interesting there as well on getting changed for the day. Only this week I've started to get out of my pajamas and actually put like jeans on and stuff like that. A little bit more effort. It makes a big difference for the outlook of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like seriously, little things, brushing your teeth, putting on deodorant, putting on perfume. And you're like, why am I putting on a perfume?
Oh, I do by default. but to piggyback off that, having a shower is a big one as well. Waking up and having a shower like you would normally.
Exactly.
Rather than waiting until like 2 o'clock or something is a big difference.
Having a house guest during this as well has been kind of cool. I mean, this guy I grew up with, he came kind of 5 weeks ago just before all this and he was interviewing and he's about to land a job with a big construction company. And unfortunately... Awesome. All this stuff happened, but
I found that as well. Sorry, just to jump in real quick. I found that as well. There are still jobs in our industry. There are still jobs to be got. Like people are still hitting me up on LinkedIn and like trying to rustle up interviews and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly,
it's interesting.
Yeah. So the construction industry, although there are still a lot of construction sites around and stuff, and people are still fairly busy, but the position that he's in, he's a senior project manager or something like that. So he's finding it difficult to land something. But having him around has been cool, man. Like just he's the share load of cooking, cleaning, all that stuff has been kind of cool, and he's fun to be around.
And I guess because he's your boy, like you've grown up with him. It's like having family, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like having one of my brothers stay with me. I mean, from time to time, it's good to have your personal space, but all in all, there's not many complaints.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And is there a room for him or is he...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Nikita and I have our own room and then he's in the room next to us.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so you got your own space a little bit and stuff as well, I guess.
Exactly.
And I guess the other thing to think about on that family level is before we move on, is then the reality is you have a bulk of your family in New Zealand.
Mm.
How is that going? Like how is that distance sort of, you know, you can't like just get on the plane and go sort of thing? Like
I mean, we had to cancel our flights initially.
April, right?
On the 11th of April. So that would have been tomorrow. Would have been flying out. Would have been on the plane tomorrow.
Fuck, it is April.
Yeah. So we had to cancel that. But I'm back and forth from New Zealand with side hustle stuff and also seeing family, so it's been good. But
they're all right. Like everyone's good.
Yeah, everyone's all right. They're at a stage 4 lockdown, which means that you can't really have the same flexibility as we do here because they're only stage 3.
Okay.
With us, we can still go out and exercise and do things like that. With them, if you're going to exercise, you still need to be in the same neighborhood or something like that.
Okay.
And there's certain hours of the day we can go get groceries and there's like a few checkpoints where people are, the cops are constantly checking in where you're going and stuff like that. So
like you shouldn't pass type thing?
Sorry?
Like you shouldn't like out of your suburb type thing? Like
yeah, I mean like they'll pull you over.
Yeah.
If you don't go through a checkpoint and they're constantly asking you questions, you know, where you're going and stuff like that. And New Zealand's always been good in responding to things like that to, you know, eradicate anything that's too serious. But I guess because the population is a lot smaller as well, so it's easier to control.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. But back to your question, everyone's good, man. Everyone's just riding this wave. My family specifically, my parents have gone through this. My dad was in the army. He was a general in the Iraqi army. So he's like, this is a piece of cake. Like, I don't know why people are so fussy about this shit. You know, why are people losing their shit in the grocery store? Be thankful that the grocery stores are still open. Be thankful that you're still getting
what you need,
food and, you know, and supplements and what have you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I think that segues well into Nikita Miller, which I realize an odd thing to say because Nikita Miller is both a person and a brand.
Yeah.
but how is that going in this time? So that's one of your Omar side hustles.
Yeah.
The side hustle that you mentioned you run with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
How is that sort of happening, I guess, with this low economy and people not really spending and stuff? Like, how is that, sure. how is that working, I guess?
The entire retail fashion industry has taken a massive hit. We were also blessed because just, I think a couple of weeks ago, we were actually about to pull the trigger on a location.
No way.
To lease out a space as well for a certain amount of time. We were seriously considering it, and we kind of filtered it down to one particular spot, and we were very close.
Where was it?
It was going to be around Armadale area.
Cool.
High Street Armadale, yeah.
Like a shared space or a space for yourself?
No, it was going to be a showroom space.
Awesome.
Yep. But this thing happened, so we just had to, I mean, negotiations weren't, they were taking a bit longer than they should. And fortunately, this entire thing happened. So we just had to fully pump the brakes on everything and just postpone these conversations. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise.
So I guess that means that you could, just to spitball ideas, not that you haven't thought about this already, but in this downtime, you could be thinking about what this space eventually could be when everything's back to normal, I guess.
Yeah, of course. You start thinking of different ways. You start looking at industry to see how people are doing things. I mean, a lot of the big fashion houses are doing these kind of virtual showrooms where you do video calls and you take him through the entire collection, and for buyers that are in the industry, you know, to show interest and things like that. So there are a lot of initiatives. Vogue Fashion has done this initiative where they've invited a bunch of brands here in Melbourne to list on their website and for to offer discounts to people. So it's kind of like the fashion community coming together. There's strength in numbers, and it's looking somewhat positive for the future. But at the moment, you walk down High Street and every retail store is closed. Everyone's got these COVID-19 boards on the thing. But for us, we've always been online. We were recently going to have our own space, but I think still being online and still offering virtual showrooms and still being available to take in inquiries and answer things and being active on social media has definitely helped us. I mean, sales have definitely slowed down, if not halted altogether. But we've always been steady in our revenue streams and whatnot. So
and your overheads are low, right? Like there's no
overheads are fairly low. Yeah. I mean, prior to that, we were our downstairs and our townhouse was pretty much the showroom.
So when you talk about you've sparked a bit of an idea for me.
Yeah. So your eyes sparkle a bit.
Yeah. So when you talk about a virtual showroom, is there like a digital platform that already does that?
There are a few.
The reason I ask is because I wonder if there's an opportunity to rent out a similar space or the space you were looking at for really cheap.
Yeah.
Right. Set it up as you would.
Yep.
Create the virtual like film for what it would be like. I'm using my hands to like imagine I'm walking through the room with a camera, and then like create content.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you can't come to this store. We don't want you to come to this store, but we can still give you the.
There's two big. There's two big tech companies that have already done that.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested in kind of checking that out, check out the Business of Fashion. They're all over that at the moment. There's some really good case studies in terms of how they've done it. So
nice.
It's been quite successful. People are using it. But I think people just don't want to spend $300 on a garment, you know? People are hesitant now. Everyone's kind of waiting for their next big thing. And if you don't, especially if you haven't discounted your things, people aren't going to buy it. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities where some of these big fashion houses have actually discounted things majorly.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see them through and to pay the rent and things like that. And that might have a long lasting kind of reputation, damage in terms of their reputation down the line.
It feels like a short-sighted move.
Exactly. And it's just like, well, hold on now. Things are hard. Now you're discounting. What the hell you're up to type thing. So
yeah,
a lot of people are questioning that. A lot of people are thriving on that. So it's a mixed bag of things. But overall, the entire industry has taken a hit. But with us, it's given us some time to kind of go back and reevaluate what we need to do for the label and then start thinking about the next collection that we're about to launch.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of reminds me of the Atlassian thing. Like this, From what I've read, this timed well, and it wasn't actually, like, this wasn't done for COVID at all, but it just timed really well. So they made all of their products free. And at first the headline was like, well, Atlassian makes all their products free. Like, everyone can use it like up to 10 users per product type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And then you find out later that it was actually just a well-timed delay. Tech-wise, it took a while to actually enable the functionality to make them free. And then it just so happened to work in this time. But it's actually a really cool idea, I think, because like, if you think about it, all of these businesses would need free tools right now. Everyone's making less money. Everyone's like, I'm certainly thinking about my subscriptions and what do I need? What do I not need? What are the free alternatives?
Mm.
But then it makes me think to myself, like, yeah, if I was running a small business and I started using these Atlassian products for free, like, it's really cool that I can use forever for free up to 10 people. As I scale, now I'm invested in this product. Pandemic is over. And I'm really highly likely to be loyal and buy because all my stuff's already in these products.
Yep.
These are products like Jira and Trello and project management type products. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's something in that train of thought that could be leveraged in like the label. So rather than discounting for the short side, what could be happening to create more loyalty around the brand?
Sure. It's mentally draining to look at fashion websites and online stores because you're looking at all this beautiful clothes and all these things that you want to buy, but at the same time you're like, cool, I'll buy it, but it's going to sit in my closet for two, 3 months.
Do
I just wear it at home? Like, what the hell's going on? So
We're going to miss a season too, right?
Sorry?
Like, we're pretty much going to miss a season.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I mean, all the major fashion shows have all been canceled. Baselworld, which is one of the biggest trade shows for luxury watchmakers, that's been cancelled.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so the entire luxury retail fashion is taking a major hit, man. So we'll keep our ear to the ground. We'll figure out what the next moves are. But it's going to be some very interesting times ahead, and businesses will be forced to think in different ways to reach their consumer.
Yeah, definitely. Which I think is an opportunity. I feel like from where I work, we've seen through the research. So we generally offer like logo design. I've said before, I work at 99 Designs. We offer like all different creative outcomes connecting clients and designers. But it's interesting what we found is that through the research, we found that a lot of people are taking the time to reinvent their brand or redo their logo or redo things that are generally quite costly in time.
Yep.
But because they have the time now, they're striking this season, this moment, I guess, which I think is an interesting thought.
Yeah, I think in this stage, everyone's trying to figure out how to best utilize their time.
Yeah.
And the advice I can give people is that don't put too much pressure on yourself to try to upskill and to try to educate yourself or learn a new language. If it feels right, do it. If it feels right just to chill the fuck out and just cope with what's going on, then do that as well. But it is time that you've bought back from your 9-to-5. So use it however you feel it's right. For me, I'm looking at the next thing with my side hustle. So I'm putting effort and time into that. It's downtime. There's not much happening. So I'm working more on strategy things. And to me, that feels right. Yeah. But for you, if it feels right just to kind of slow down and really just ride the wave, then do that. If you want to learn another language, do that. There isn't a right or wrong answer.
Yeah, totally. Like from my personal side, I'm looking at the strategy as well. Like that's a big thing. Like conceptually thinking about of what I want to be doing when this is over. But also focusing on my craft, which I think I take for granted sometimes. Like I take for granted the type of designer that I am and the skill set that I've acquired over time. I like to think of my skill set as a skill set, not as a talent. Like I don't have talent for design. I have an eye for design, but I don't have talent. It's more of a skill I've built.
Yep.
And the more I refine and perfect that, the more opportunity that will be open to me.
Exactly.
So I'm doubling down on design rather than new stuff.
Whatever makes you feel good, if you're a creative, if you want to keep creating, great. If you want to slow down and start collecting a bunch of ideas and a bunch of inspirations, whether you're on Pinterest, Instagram, whatever, then just do that. It's just just to how to utilize your time as best you can while still feeling productive. It's totally up to you, but there isn't a right or wrong answer. It's just the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because I've been getting a lot of questions where people are going, okay, cool. Should I start reading books? Should I start learning a new language? Should I double down on my fitness? And it's like, well, hold on, man. What were you doing before? Keep doing that. Now you've got a bit more time. How do you want to use that spare time? You want to start cooking? Great. Go ahead. Do that. There isn't a right answer. Just utilize your time however you see best.
Yeah, so, yeah. I agree. I feel like everyone manages this isolation in different ways and everyone's thriving or not in different ways. Yeah. And is it like you say, we've got to find what works for each of us.
Mm.
But one thing that I have found, or we have found, is that we have had a bit of an uptick in listens on the show.
Mm.
And I think it's because for two reasons, I think. These are total assumptions. This is just what I think. Is first of all, the isolation, the boredom, like there's more free time to be listening to things like this.
Mm.
But also people's hunger to fill that void, whether they've become unemployed or they have a lower pay and they have money to fill, or they see an opportunity for the long run. Like I feel like at the moment side hustles are growing and thriving, and it's a good time for this type of content as well. And interestingly, yeah, the stats have grown. The one we just launched this week, I won't say the name because we're trying to go evergreen. If I say the name, we'll give away the date. But it had like a really nice uptick spike. That's the word. Yeah. A really nice spike, yeah. And it's really cool. And I guess it segues well, I think, into some thoughts on side hustle and what we can do in this time.
Mm.
Personally, I tried to do a Zoom interview with my brother Simon, our first guest, and it was more of like a test just to see how it would sound and everything. And I know people are doing Zoom well, and the sound quality can be done well.
Yeah,
but I find all of the podcasts that I listen to that I'm now, I actually don't listen to podcasts. I watch podcasts. I watch podcasts through YouTube. But when I watch them, it's just not the same. There's the energy of the room is different. And I don't know how, I think that's what we're currently trying to strategize now, is how do we capture that energy? An idea that we have is just have to think about, but an idea that we haven't really talked about much, I guess I wouldn't mind talking about now, is the idea of recapping all of the guests we've had and having like a quick like one-on-one or a quick like 15-minute catch-up, one-on-one meaning like one-on-three, one-on-two, whatever, about how they're coping with this. Like just the same conversation we're having right now, but how they're dealing with it. I think that might be beneficial to people. Like, what do you think about that type of thought?
Yeah, definitely. Just before I answer that, I wanted to tap into what you said before about having an uptake on the Side Hustle podcast and the listeners that we've had. It's been a major spike, and I hope that people are actually benefiting from this podcast, because Luke and I actually put a lot and effort into this to grab the right type of audiences to make sure that we've covered different topics and different people from different industries. So we definitely hope that our listeners are benefiting from this. So as a side note, if you do have any questions or any recommendations or feedback, please hit us up on our social media and let us know what you think. But
just before that question, I also want to add in as well, thank you for listening as well.
Of course.
I find that I listen to the episodes multiple times. I keep getting gems out of them. I want to start writing articles or write an article about what I've learned, because the whole point of this thing was for us to learn as well. And there are many cool little insights and patterns that I've seen thinking about this from the research perspective. So that'll be coming soon as well.
Mm.
Sorry, continue on.
Yeah, going back to what you're saying about kind of looping back with our audiences,
guests.
Our guests, it'd be great to do that. It'd be great to really see how they're managing their time, how they're managing things from their end during this time, side hustle, 9 to 5, financially. Just to get a really clear perspective and some real stories out there, rather than things that you might hear in the media and on the news of someone seeing a particular opportunity and doubling down on it and making millions and people making masks out of nothing now and, you know, things like that. So it'd be really good to tap into some real people and have a chat with them to see how they're going through this phase.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think it's cool, like, if you find opportunity and you can, you know, you can make some decent coin in this time, like, like more power to you type thing. Like I don't see no issue with that at all. But at the same time, that's not the reality for many, many people. No. So I've also been thinking about like, what can we do to help? So my whole thing is in general, is just helping people. Like through my freelance, I like to help. Like it's all about just like offering myself to help. And obviously through freelance, like I get paid for it. It's not all for the help, but if I'm not helping, I don't feel comfortable taking the money, I guess. And it does make me think about other different ideas we can do through this platform, through the community that we're generating, to possibly have like open forum events or open Zoom calls where we just talk. There might be people, like I guess we take for granted, right? We're talking about earlier about how are we managing being at home 24/7 with our significant other or our family or our loved ones or whatever. What about people who don't have that? What are people who live by themselves or who might not have that network?
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity to just talk to people? Just because I find at work there's a few things that we do through the day which I really benefit from. At the start of the day we do morning exercise, which is just like a stretching exercise. It goes for 3.5 minutes or 5 minutes or something like that. It's really, really beneficial and it's kind of like brings a bit of joy because you watch people doing it. And like some people do it how I suspect you should do it, which is gracefully and calmly. And other people do it like they're running a marathon or they're running like a sprint, like 100 meters. Like it's very interesting. But my point is that there's little rituals that we have. We have coffee, Zoom calls and stuff like that we do, which really help break the day and help keep that interaction. And I do wonder, people who don't have that, maybe people who are unemployed, who knows? Is there a way just to provide support in some way, I guess?
Yeah, we're totally open to that. Obviously, you'll get two sides of the coin. Luke is a more creative. I'm more kind of the commercial side of things. But I'm
not talking about commercializing at all.
Oh, no, I'm just saying like we're more than open to talk to people who are keen to have a chat to us as well beyond this podcast, you know?
If totally.
If you want to hit us up directly, so.
Definitely.
And you'll just get different perspectives.
Oh, and also, I guess one thing I've been doing actually last week was I've been critiquing people's folios who are looking for jobs who have just come out of uni for like UX and design roles. That's actually been really rewarding. I've really enjoyed that. So I think I might put something out on LinkedIn or something like that to
That'd be cool.
call for people too. So yeah, if anyone wants to do that, just hit me up as well. The only caveat I'll give you or prefix is that I'm going to give you the honest truth. So I'm not going to be mean at all, but I'll tell you the real. So just be prepared for that, I guess.
Yeah. He can get quite harsh, so be careful.
Well, just like good design. Like.
All right, man, just to wrap this up, what are your forecasts for the next month or so? What are your thoughts? What do you think will go down?
What do I think is going down or what am I doing?
What do you think is going to go down in the industry, our industry specifically?
Well, from what I can see, things are stabilizing a little bit financially from like my 9-to-5's perspective. I think as people are getting over the shock of this whole situation and easing into it and kind of like Omar was saying, like finding their groove and what they want to be doing with this time, people are getting a bit more settled. I don't think we're in the clear at all financially, work-wise or in the economy, but I forecast much of the same until around that sort of July, August mark. That's just based on the stuff that's out there now, but I'm really not sure. Personally, I think I'm just going to keep spending time being aware of my options. So if the worst thing happens, if I may be made redundant, if I lose my job, my wife isn't working, so then we'll, I guess, have no income. Thinking about the reality of that, the reality that Centrelink is unresponsive and it's hard to get, like the website isn't working, you can't get the claim off.
No.
So thinking about the options of like, okay, cool. So with a mortgage, I have to be onto the bank and see the options there. And I feel like there'll be options and everyone seems to be understanding at this time.
Of course.
And at the worst, and the way I see it is a worst case scenario, not worst case, but a bad scenario is that, you know, interest rises and maybe if we can't pay a payment or whatever, but at the end of the day, we'll just catch that up later. So I'm more on the thought of like, improving myself in professionally and thinking about the future, because I don't want to be working for somebody in the near future. And that's always been my goal. And this has really kickstarted that for me, in the sense of like, you really can't rely on anyone but yourself. So yeah. let's keep that going. How about your point of view?
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more with what you were saying in terms of generating kind of your own income in your own way. That's definitely the entire purpose of this Side Hustle podcast, is talking to people who are on the way of doing that, or
totally,
you know, along whatever journey they're in. For me, the way I see it is that everything has an end. If it's a good thing, if it's a bad thing, this thing is bound to end at some point.
Yeah.
But before that happens, we've just got to ride the wave. We've got to genuinely be nice to each other. I mean, just this morning, leaving the house, I'm still seeing people beeping their horns at each other. And it's just like, calm the fuck down. We're all trying to go to the same spot, whether we're getting groceries or whether we're doing this or we're doing that. There's no point of you being an asshole on the street or a dickhead. Like,
totally.
We're all in this together. Calm the fuck down, you know? Just have a bit more patience.
I think there's a key. I think the key right now is just to be patient. I'm not a patient person at all. Like, generally, I'm really not.
Yeah.
But somehow you just have to find it inside you and just...
Absolutely. That's the thing that's the change that we all need to make as human beings, that we're all in this together. The only people we can rely on is each other. There's no way out. You can't go overseas. So it is what it is. So beyond kind of all that, the industry is definitely... on the up and up, the way I see it, it's definitely taken a massive hit, but things are progressively looking good. Some of our existing clients have already signed up to monthly retained hours for us to do different projects tasks and stuff for them. So that's definitely been a positive. New business has slowed down, but there are signs that say otherwise. So it's looking good. I'm definitely still optimistic about this entire thing. And I think in a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks from this episode, things should start looking pretty positive. I mean, we've already heard that the Capital Territory and South Australia have loosened up some of their regulations and rules and stuff around social distancing, and gatherings and cafes are starting to open up. So
cool.
I'm very positive about this entire thing, but at the same time, I'm also hopeful that the learnings that we get from this are carried on to when things are good again, rather than just forgotten.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the bushfires. Bushfires is a good example of this.
That's it. Okay. People humble the fuck down, but then when things look up, they're back to being assholes. And it's like, why? Why don't you just keep that consistency of, you know, how we treat each other?
Yeah, totally. Well, that's what I'm also mean about people just forget. Like, it's like not that long ago the bushfires happened. People are still repairing those areas.
Yeah.
Well, or were, I guess. But with the isolation, I'm not sure what's happening now. But that's the point. It's not really in the news anymore. No one's really talking about it. It just sort of like is over.
Yeah, yeah.
But I totally agree. Like, at first I didn't like, well, I still don't like going to the Coles and the Woolies. I feel like not everybody, but people that are going there are just being assholes. But when you go to the independent grocers and the markets and stuff, it feels a bit more cordial and a bit more, just people are like more patient, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am enjoying the niceness of it. But one thing that is disappointing me that I really want to bring back, which I'm actively doing, is I feel like people aren't looking each other in the eye when you walk past them that much anymore. Everyone's concerned with the am I a meter and a half away type thing.
Yeah.
And I'm consciously looking at people like, look back at me. I want to give you a nod or just say, hey, or
exactly.
I think that's really important. And that's what I'm trying to bring back, because it just, that doesn't feel nice when people are looking at you.
Absolutely. So I want to bring that human element into it. Yeah. I mean, it's strange because, I'm going to get a bit political, but it'll be very, very quickly. When 9/11 happened, people looked at people of Middle Eastern descent in a very weird way. Women that covered their heads and they might have covered their faces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
and you were labeled something, but now people are walking around with masks and stuff, and all of a sudden that's okay. I mean obviously people have medical reasons to do that, blah blah blah, but just at the same time, that empathy needs to be across the board, irrespective of current events and what we're going through.
Yeah.
If I want to walk around 2 years from now with a mask on my face for the next 24 months, then that's my choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't judge me for that type of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to be interesting how things be affected by that. Like on the grocery level, last week I felt weird picking fruit, and I felt weird like touching them and seeing the hardness and like just what you need to do with fruit, yeah. Right? And then this week I found that majority of the fruit and veg are bagged. So you just pick up a bag and go. Because I walked to like the beans area, I'm like, where the fuck are all the beans? And then I did feel weird grabbing beans with my hands, but I never did. But now it's all been bagged, which is also interesting from an environmental point of view, because we're getting so good with it using less plastic, and now everything is wrapped in plastic for this, which is one of the product ideas I had was having
sustainable
bags that you can just keep using, for produce.
Yeah,
which already has been done by many people, but I think there's still room in that market. I
mean, cafes aren't even accepting
your own cups now. Yeah,
keep cups anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
your own cups and stuff. Yeah.
Well, even just the amount of cafes that have closed, and like even like the like, and all this needs to be done. Like, I'm not complaining, but it's just interesting to get used to. Like, you go to the pharmacy, there's like a big like trestle table covering the entry, and they're getting whatever you need for them, for yourself, sorry.
Yeah.
And then like, and I get why, but people asking you to like step back a bit and like.
Yeah. It's just a matter of working together. That's all. Yeah. That's all. People just need to adapt, and you just got to roll with the punches. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And just, yeah. And I guess just mentally get through it. Like make sure everyone's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to wrap things up, rest assured we've still got a few unreleased episodes that we'd love to release at some point as well, just so you guys get across them. Obviously, we're not saying any days. Sorry, we're not mentioning any dates or any names, just so we don't give away where and which date we're recording this episode.
Yeah.
But I
feel like this will probably come out next, right? Like, we'll hustle this into the pipeline.
I think so, yeah. It's quite relevant, and people need to hear it, and we want to get some feedback, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, on that note, please, like, but I feel like because nowhere that we post, so we're on all the main distributions for podcasts, but we're not on YouTube, and nowhere where distributed allows for comments. So please, if you have any feedback, if you think we're shit or anything, just like let us know, because we want to improve.
But just be nice about it. If you think we're shit, just like be a bit more cordial about it, please.
Oh yeah, you don't have to be a troll, but yes. But
we're quite sensitive during this time.
No. Actually,
no, I'm playing.
I'm not at all. I need to hear what it is so I can improve. So
definitely.
We have got a Slack channel, which we've talked about before, Jewel of Doves. If you want to get into it, you can go to jewelofdoves.com or just hit one of us up on LinkedIn, whatever, Omar Asadi, Luke Faruja.
Or even our Instagrams as well.
Anywhere, just DM us. There's like the more the merrier. And we are having a bit of fun in there. It's a bit of a lively place.
Definitely. Cool, man. Well, thanks for allowing me to come into the space to record the episode. And for facilitating this, I do appreciate it. I think it's timely and it's relevant. It's going to be important once we release it.
Definitely. And it's kind of nice to be in a different environment from the studio. Not the studio is bad at all.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a difference, I guess. Different atmosphere.
Definitely. Cool. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And please leave any comments or feedback in our social channels.
Awesome.
All right.
Catch you later.
See ya.